Good evening and greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, welcome back to our Bible study as we continue our studies from the book of Hebrews. Good to see Brother Calvin as well. Welcome, brother. Hope you had a good time. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We are going to read verses 1 till verse 11 responsively. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 from verses 1 till verse 11. I'm going to read verse 1. You can read verse 2. We'll continue till verse 11. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, let you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. I'm reading verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speak to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For a few days chastened us, seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. May God bless the reading of his word and add his blessings for his name's sake. Now, we started this chapter or this section of scriptures before we had a break. And we were looking into running with endurance. Now, Christian life is compared with a race. And God expects every believer to begin the race, to continue in the race, and to finish the race. Now, if you see verse 1, I'm just revising or recapitulating what we have discussed. I don't want to go into very detail, but just to refresh your minds because we had a very long gap. Now, the first four verses, we see Jesus as both the source and the example of faith. Now, in chapter 11, we have seen the character of faith. We have seen the great men of faith, who have started the race well, who have continued in the race, and who has finished the race. And in chapter 12, we see the application of that faith, application of those truths in the life of a believer. Now, in verse 1, we see a scene, and that is of a stadium, a colosseum. And we see the occasion is a contest, and the contest is a foot race. It is a marathon. It is not walking, but it is running in a race. And who are the contestants? And the contestants are the author and the Hebrew believers or the members of his flock. Now we also see, it says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now these clouds of witnesses are the Old Testament saints, and especially pertaining to the saints or the heroes of faith mentioned in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Now, these cloud of witnesses, they are not live witnesses, but they are witness, their past life is a witness to to these believers who were contemplating to go back to Judaism. It is an encouragement to examine themselves in the light of these great men of faith who have started the race, who has continued, and who has finished the race. These are the cloud of witnesses through which they can be encouraged and they can continue in this race. That's why I said it is always good to read the biographies of missionaries and the great men of God so that we can see how they continued in their faith, in that race, in spite of all the difficulties that they were facing. And that is an encouragement for us as well in the world that we are living in to run the race that is set before us. And it says here, let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Now, how we should prepare ourselves for this race? The first thing he says is, we have to lay aside every weight. Whenever an athlete, when he runs or participates in a race, he doesn't wear a nice suit with some jacket and a briefcase in his hand. In other words, he removes everything with bare clothes. He runs the race because anything that he has on his body will become an hindrance. And that's why as believers, when we run the race, we face many hurdles, many things that can discourage and tends to give up the race. And that's why he is telling, lay aside every weight, every mass, every burden, or every hindrance. And the next thing that he says is, the sin that easily ensnares and entangles us. There are many sins that can entangle us, that we can become a victim, or that can become a bait for us. It refers to the besetting sin. Now, what is that sin in our life that hinders our progress in this race that we are running? It could be jealousy, it could be dishonesty, it could be our guile, it could be our arrogance, it could be our covetousness, it could be our pride, and all this must be stripped off and they should be left behind. And the third thing that he talks about is we have to run with endurance. That word endurance means patience and perseverance. It is not an inactive word, but it is an active word. It is the spirit that stands up and faces the trials of life. And that spirit goes on conquering every trial. And I'm not going to go into details, but I'm just refreshing. And the next thing that we see in verse 2 is an encouragement in our Christian life to continue in that race. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, in order to continue in this race, we should not look to ourselves. We should not look to the world and its enticements, but we should look to only one person. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. When the author says looking unto Jesus, means we should fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. And not only that, it is a concentrated gaze. Now, we should not be distracted by many things in the world. There are many things that can divert our attention. That's why our focus should be on the goal. Our focus should be on the prize. The prize is Christ Himself, and the goal is Christ Himself. That's why here the author says, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means He is the pioneer and He is the perfecter of our faith. And the whole race from start to finish is for Christ only. And He will see us through. And that's why I always emphasize and say, our salvation is certain. If you are truly born again, our salvation is secure. And when we finish our race, when we cross that finish line, the scripture says, we will be glorified. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, a beautiful verse. And this is the confidence that we have. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now you and I on our own, in our own strength, in our own wisdom, we cannot run this race. It is only by the help and by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can run, we can face hurdles, and we can complete this race. And the next thing that we see is he says, despising who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus Christ, he endured the cross. As I mentioned last time, that phrase endured the cross is a very serious thing, in the sense that the punishment and the pain that Jesus Christ has to go through. Now, he endured all this punishment, this pain, this persecution, because of the joy that was set before him. And what was that joy? Jesus Christ knew, because of his suffering, because of his death, you know, it would accomplish redemption for mankind. Mankind will be delivered from their sin. And not only that, God is going to glorify Christ. It speaks about Christ, future glorification and kingship. It is to God has highly exalted him and made him to sit at the right hand of God. It is an honor and the position of exaltation. And because of that joy, he endured the cross. And then when we come to verse 3, the author gives an antidote to spiritual collapse. Now, as we run this race, as I said, there may be times when we want to give up, when we want to throw the towel and say, enough is enough, I can't continue. And he gives an antidote, and he says, in order to continue and finish well in that race, consider him. That word consider means to take account. The Greek word that we get is the word logarithm, which means calculate. It involves actions and accusing Christ falsely. Consider him who endured such hostility. Jesus Christ was accused. People have treated him very cruelly. And when a believer runs the race, they should always compare their sufferings, their difficulties, in the light of what Christ has gone through. And that's why he says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, when we compare our trials and our difficulties with the sufferings that Christ has gone through. People have mocked him. They spat on him. Isn't it? They did so many things to him. They whipped him. And when we compare the sufferings of Christ, our suffering is nothing. It is only when we look at Jesus Christ, then we gain strength, and it boosts our courage to continue in that race. And when you come to verse 4, he says, you have not yet resisted to the bloodshed, striving against sin. What the author is telling is, in your struggle against sin, you have not suffered as much as Christ suffered. Do you know how much Christ suffered? It cost his blood. It cost his life. But when you compare your suffering with the sufferings of Christ, you have not yet come close to spilling the blood or becoming martyr. That is an encouragement for them to continue. Yes, the Hebrew believers, because of their faith, as we seen in Hebrews chapter 10, their goods were plundered. Their houses were attacked. They were going through severe persecution. the fellow Jews were mocking them. They were asking them to come back to Judaism. They were in a dilemma whether to continue or whether to go back. It is in that situation the author is encouraging them. He said, he is telling the sufferings, the pain that you are going through is nothing because you have not come to the point of spilling the blood. You have not come to the point of sacrificing your life. What you are going through is nothing. How many times as Christians, when we go through little persecution, we begin to whine, we begin to complain, we share with people and say how much difficulties we are going through. It is an encouragement even today for you and me as well, as we struggle against the temptations, the trials, the difficulties that we face through, we should consider our Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone through that suffering. It cost him his blood and his life. So this is what we have seen. And today my focus is more on the discipline of God, the divine discipline that we see from verses 5 till verse 11. Now when you come to verse 5, we see sonship has privileges. As children of God, we have privileges. But those privileges comes with a discipline as well. With discipline as well. Now see here, the author is reminding